are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
So wonderful to be with you today, August 16th, 2021. What a week it has been. High temperatures here in the Philadelphia area and surrounding areas and across the United States. Debilitating weather, world problems. We need prayer now more than ever, and we need God's discernment. So, my friends, today we're going to begin with prayer because I have a special guest coming on. Let us pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we pray for your Holy Spirit today. We pray for the spirit of peace and unity, that any disunity and diabolical confusion be set aside and cast to the foot of your cross. Allow us to hear your word. Allow us to go forth in your word. And we thank you and praise you in your holy name. Amen. I wanted to begin the program with a beautiful quote that I found from St. John of the Cross. He once said, "In the twilight of our life, we will be judged on love. We will not be judged on our gifts, our talents, our achievements. We will not be judged on how hard we've worked or how much we've accomplished. We will be judged on how much and how well we have loved, on whether we have loved one another as Jesus loved us." In other words, my friends, we will be judged on how much we love, not how much we've accomplished. So this is why the topic today will be discerning God's will. Do you believe that your life is turning in circles and you're spinning and spinning? You have no idea what God wants of you. We've somewhat touched on this in the past few weeks, but I wanted to have someone who really walks the walk and has written about this and has preached about this, and that is Susan Brinkman. Many of you have heard of Susan. She's an author. She's an award-winning journalist. She's a Third Order of Discalced Carmelites. She's the Director of Communications and New Age Research for Women of Grace. She's the co-founder, and we're going to be talking about this a little bit later, co-founder of the Catholic Life Institute. And she has authored 11 books. Yes, that's right, 11 books. When I asked her last week if she would like to do the topic, discerning God's will, she immediately responded, because I knew that that's a topic very near and dear to her heart. It's a topic very near and dear to my heart, because it's a daily question that I ask the Lord, specifically after prayer and in my journal writing. What do you want of me, Lord? What is it? Do you want me to be still? Do you want me to move forward? Excuse me, what is it? As I'm doing this program from a remote location, you know, I have a little bit of quiet time asking God, what does he want of me? And I can't tell you that I have, you know, a big booming voice come down out of heaven and say, "Ann, I want you to do this," or "I want you to do that." But it's in the sacrament of the present moment, you know, just listening, discerning, evaluating, God, what have you done with my life? What do you want me to do? And to me, this is the biggest question all of us need to be asking at this time in history. What do you want of me, God? He may want you to just be still. He may want you to just be in your house and to intercede. He may want you to be part of a ministry in your parish or your church. Not sure. But it is a time for questioning, what is it that you want of me? And specifically in these crazy times, as we talked about last week and the previous weeks of summer, you know, what is it? If you're in the twilight of your life, as I am, you know, we're asking God, will we be judged on our accomplishments? Nope, you're not going to be judged on your accomplishments. We're all going to be judged on love. Did we choose love in spite of spitefulness and hatefulness and the desire to win the argument? Are we going to be judged on our giftedness, our talents, and our achievements? No, we're not. we will not be judged on how hard we've worked or how much we've accomplished. We will be judged on how much and how well we have loved, on whether we have loved one another as Jesus loved us. And these words are taken right from St. John of the Cross. So, my friends, if you're driving, if you're sitting in the office, if you're just resting and you're saying, okay, you know, I'm going to decide whether I'm going to listen to this program or not, if you're channel surfing, which many of you do, you channel surf, if you're listening on the In His Sign Catholic Network internet, if you're listening through WTMR 800 AM, or Google, or Alexa, or iTunes, many different ways to hear us. We have many different people who are listening around the world. Yes, believe it or not, some of you may think, oh, this is just a Philly station, which is a leading market station. Many of you have no idea how many lives Kathleen McCarthy is touching through her Facebook Live session every Tuesday. The repeats, people who can't listen on their way home or at home, they replay the broadcast. It's reaching a beautiful, beautiful crescendo. So I ask you tomorrow to be sure to listen to Facebook Live. And if you need to call Maureen, if you don't know how to get on the internet or to attach yourself to Facebook Live, give Maureen a call at 610-527-2906 for a little help or a little direction. And that way, you're in the stream for live updates and anything that's happening in the apostolate, or visit the website and sign up. You don't want to miss these beautiful, mystical, loving, prayerful moments. And you don't want to miss the radio broadcast. They're so rich. Every day, all the broadcasters bring a different giftedness. But if you really, really listen, you'll notice they're done with great love, because none of us are paid. We're not doing this to earn a living. We're not doing this out of pride to get our names known. We just simply trudge along week after week asking God, what do you want of us? We are discerning God's will on an hourly basis. Do you want us to continue to do these broadcasts? Do you want this network to continue? Do you want us to continue in this form of apostolic work? It's a question we all ask every day. And many of us, most of the broadcasters, have been involved in ministries 35 plus years. That's right, 35 plus years. I think I'm at 43 plus years. But most of them are all seasoned broadcasters in terms of broadcasting the Word of God in the silence of our hearts. So hopefully, God willing, I'll keep my voice. Because it's rather hot where I'm at. No, I'm not in the Caribbean. It's just our air conditioning broke, and I have about 15 fans in the house. No, I have about 4 fans in the house. And I hope that I can make it through the broadcast without coughing, because it is very, very hot. It's close to 90 degrees where I'm at right now in our home. So God willing, we will have a powerful program. So tell your friends that Susan Brinkman will be our special guest today. And as many of you know, at least in the Philadelphia market and across the United States, she's an award-winning journalist. She's an author of 11 books. Yep, Third Order Discalced Carmelite, Director of Communications and New Age Research for Women of Grace, which is Johnette Benkovic's apostolic work, which is amazing, which is global. And Susan is the co-founder of the Catholic Life Institute, which we want to talk about today. It sounds so exciting. I've only seen social media posts, which I think are fabulous, and I think the work that Susan is doing even today. She's never still. This woman is on the move for the Lord and doing exciting things. So I can't wait till she calls in, and God willing, we will have a powerful program. So be sure to tune in today. Tell your friends, if you're spinning wheels and wondering what does God want of me, or you think you know what God wants of you, this is the program for you today. Yep, this is the program for you. And so I've had Susan on many times talking about New Age. We've talked about Reiki and yoga and mindfulness and many other things. And I could have her on every day because she's so rich in information. But today, discerning God's will, it's a biggie. It's a biggie for all of us, especially me, constantly asking God, do you want me to continue doing radio broadcasts? Do you want me to continue to minister through other means? What is your divine will for my life? And so Susan Brinkman will be calling in, God willing, from her location shortly. She's always on time, and I hope there aren't any storms up in the Philadelphia market, because I never know, and I'm so grateful. And we may be taking calls. It depends on how Susan's feeling today. But I'm going to give you the studio number. It's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, because this is a program that you don't want to miss. And I know that they'll be recording this and replaying it in the coming months. And whenever I have Susan Brinkman on, it is rich in information. And every week going forward, we will have a special guest, specifically in the fall. It's not easy to get guests during the summer, and Susan, God willing, has taken time out of her schedule to be with us today. And for this, I'm so grateful.
And your guest is on the line.
All right. Susan, welcome. You're live on the air.
Oh, I'm so happy to be back, Andy. How are you doing? You sound so wonderful.
Well, I'm happy to have you on the air. You know, Susan, the topic of discerning God's will, it has to be prominent in all of our lives. No matter who we are, no matter what mm-hmm. we're doing, we see what's happening in the world, and we're asking the Lord, what is it that you want of me? How in the world, Susan, how are we ever going to discern God's will in our lives?
That is such a great question, and I mean, it's something that we all struggle with this. Everybody struggles with it. No matter where you are in your spiritual life, you struggle with it. But I think what you have to do is you have to have the right foundation to begin with before you even ask that question. You've got to have the right foundation. You've got to know that God loves you. You've got to know that God has a plan for you and that God does not want to hide that plan from you. You know, we tend to think, oh, I have to figure all this out myself, but you really don't. It's really right there, but you need to learn how to be open to it. So the very first thing you have to do is to understand that he does love you and he does want the best for you and he wants you to know what his plan is. So that's an important question because you know what, Annie? A lot of people say, I'm not sure he wants me to know. Or they're saying to themselves, I think I've got to try to figure this out. And, you know, you have to just leave the door open for him to speak to you. And that comes from having that right foundation, coming from a position of love and a position of affection. And once you have that, that gives you the right disposition, which means now you want to say yes to God's will. A lot of times, you know, we don't get it because we don't really want his will. We want what we want, right? So
people are scared. They're thinking, oh, if I do God's will, my life is over.
Yes, that's so true.
Have you heard that one?
Yes. I mean, I was the same exact way. And then, you know, I had that experience, my conversion experience. Not everybody has one of these experiences, but a lot of people do. And I had it years ago. I was away from the church, as some may or may not know, for a very long time. And I thought it was very old-fashioned, out of touch with the real world, you know, yada, yada. But I always had this dream of being a writer. It was my one great love. And even though I was away from the church for many years, I would joke to people. I would say to them, writing for me is like one long communion with God.
Ooh.
So I was connecting it to God, even though I was way, way far away from him, because I thought, like what you said, I don't want his will. I don't want to, like, live in a cardboard box and eat dirt. I mean, this is Satan. This is what he convinces us of, that God wants all these horrible things for us. So anyway, I had a problem, you know, getting published. I wasn't getting anything published, novel after novel. I mean, I couldn't even get a letter published in the newspaper. And then one day after like 14 years of trying, I got a particularly unexpected rejection letter from my agent, and I just felt like all my hope was slipping away. And I sat down on the floor of my study that night, and I was clutching my rejected manuscript. And I actually, like, shook my fist at God. saying, you know, why are you doing this to me? You gave me this talent, and now all you're doing is torturing me with it because I can't get anywhere. And if you don't help me to get published, then just kill me. Now, this is, as you know me, I'm the drama queen, right?
Yeah.
Just kill me, you know, just take my life right now. So anyway, now at the time, I had just begun to turn back toward God, and I was reading the Bible. And so this was the very beginning now, Annie, of my return to God. And I opened the book that night. I opened the book, the Bible, to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, the letter of the church in Philadelphia, where the Lord says, "Behold, I have left an open door before you, which no one can close." And as soon as I read those words, I got like this anointing. Now I know it was anointing. I didn't know what it was when it happened to me. I just felt like a shockwave went through my body, and it actually scared me. That's how powerful it was. But I just all of a sudden knew that he heard me. And this is someone who really, I had not really been praying that much at that point. Just with my Bible, I would open up the Bible because I fell in love with the Psalms. And I would read them, and they would make me feel close to this God. I used to call it David's God. I didn't associate that God with the church yet. He was just David's God, the God of the Psalms. So anyway, I got really scared that night, but from that point on, I thought to myself, I think God might have heard me. And I said that to one of my girlfriends. I said, you know what, I think God might be trying to talk to me. And she said, yeah, I know a lot of serial killers who said that, you know. I thought, you know, oh, brother, what am I doing here? But anyway, sure enough, within, I guess, 3 months of that, I rewrote a book, an older book that I had written before, and I rewrote it, gave it to my agent. She said, you know what, I think you got it this time. And within 3 months, I had a letter I had a contract from HarperCollins. And I just knew that it was God. I said, you know, how could it be that I did all this for 14 years and nothing ever happened? And the one time I shake my fist at God, you know, I'm not telling everybody to go shake your fist at God. But as a priest later explained to me in confession, it was probably one of the first times that I ever really prayed from my heart. I just said to him, you know, why are you doing this to me? You know, are you really there? Because if you are, like, I really need you. So I was praying from my heart. I wasn't just sitting there reciting prayers, you know. I was really talking to him. And so I got published. And from that moment on, I mean, I was wrapped around his little finger. But that taught me a very important thing, that he loved me. Only someone who really loved me would have done that for me, because that was the one thing that I wanted. That was my dream, and he made that come true for me. So, you know, you have to come from that foundation where you know that he loves you and that you don't need to be afraid of his will. His will for me was to be a writer, Annie. His will for me was what I was dreaming of. I would never have thought
it. And to fly. You told me once that you were terrified of flying, but his will was for you to fly could broadcast on EWTN. I love that story. You were terrified.
I was terrified. That was the power of grace. That was the power of grace, because I had also, the other part of that story is not just that I was afraid to fly, because I wasn't as afraid of flying as I was afraid of, I had motion sickness, horrible motion sickness from having an ear injury. And ever since I had that injury, I just had motion sickness. And here I was invited to do this EWTN show, and I had just gotten the job with Johnette, and I was going to say no, but I was so terrified of that trip. And you reminded me of it. It makes me laugh. And I ended up, I went, but I was a basket case. I didn't sleep for 3 days before I went, and I had to do 5 shows in the New Age. And you know Johnette, she's no easy. She doesn't throw you softballs.
No.
I mean, these are tough interviews. I had stacks of notes with me. I was a basket case. I stayed with Michelle Johnson. She's a former editor of Catholic Standard and Times. She was my editor when I was there. And anyway, I stayed with her because at that point she was now working for EWTN. And I was crying my eyes out the morning of the shows. And I said, I can't go through with this. I'm a mess. I haven't slept. I'm so tired. And she slipped this thing under the door, and it was all about accepting your cross. And I said, I don't want to accept my cross. You know? So anyway, I said, collect yourself. You're here. You got to do it. And I ended up, you know, making myself look as decent as I could with makeup. And I go to the studio. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I thought this was the end of my life as I knew it. I'm sitting there on the couch with Johnette, mic'd up, And I'm thinking, I actually looked down and could see my heart beating. My blouse was actually moving. That's how hard it was. I was like, oh, my God, please, please help me get out of here. And then I look at the camera, and it's just, it counts down, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then it's live. All the lights go on. And from that moment on, I had, like, all this energy. I was, like, into what we were talking about. I was having a wonderful time. I went from being a basket case to being totally enthralled with what I was doing. It was grace. It was his grace. He was saying to me, Sue, you stepped out in grace to do this for me. Now I'm going to do this for you. But that's not all that he did. I actually flew back home, and from that moment on, I never had motion sickness again. So it was just gone. And I had such severe motion sickness that I could not, I mean, the Titanic, watching the movie in the movie theater, I got sick in the bathroom. I ended up sitting in the bathroom. I couldn't watch it because of the way the motion of the ship, and you could see it moving. That's how motion sick I was. I was in bad shape. So anyway, you've got to have that disposition to be open to whatever God wills for you. And if you do that, you begin to be able to hear him. And there's different ways that we hear his voice. You know, you have, you have locutions that you would hear from your auditory with your ears, and they're the least. If you ever hear anything with your ears, forget it. Don't even pay attention to that, because that's usually the devil.
Yes.
But then you have imaginative ones. Like sometimes you'll be sitting there and praying to him, show me what you want, show me what, and you'll get an image in your mind. And a lot of times people like me who have a lot of imagination, he will use images to try to teach me something and to show me something. And I'll see an image and I'll know exactly what he's trying to say to me. And that's an imaginative locution. This is Teresa of Avila now, her teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And then intellectual locutions are, and these happen to us all the time, we just don't know what they are. This is when we all of a sudden just understand something.
Mm-hmm.
You read some scripture, and all of a sudden you say to yourself, oh, I get it. It's like a eureka moment. That's him. That's him telling you. See, this is the other reason why, you know, we don't discern as well. We don't know how to hear him. You don't know how to hear him. You have to learn how to listen to him, which means listening to him with an open heart, knowing that he loves you and that you don't have to be afraid of his will. You have to have that. And then you have to discern his voice and the way he speaks to you. And a lot of that comes about from your daily prayer life. That's why it's so important that you do that every single day. You never let a day go by. And that prayer, Annie, should not be done when you're doing something else. That prayer should be quality time with the Lord, just you and him. And it should be 30 minutes, at least, 30 minutes. So that's how you get to know his voice. You get to know how he talks to you. He also speaks to you through what other people say to you. You know, somebody might be listening to the radio show right now, and I'll be saying something, and it'll be like, oh, okay, that's him. You'll understand that's what he does. He uses weak instruments like us to show you things. You'll hear something in church, a homily. For me, it was the music.
Ooh.
I remember one time sitting in church, and this was the very beginning of my walk, and I was still struggling with him because he kind of brought me back kicking and fighting. I didn't come easily back to the church. And anyway, I was attending Mass at that point. I wasn't going to communion, but I was attending Mass. And I remember sitting in the back, and I was arguing with him. What do you want with me anyway? And this is how I was praying to him. What do you want? What do you want with me? And all of a sudden, the choir starts singing Hosea. Long have I waited for you coming home to me and living deeply our new life. And I was so struck by it, it brought tears to my eyes. I thought, this is, sounds like something David's God would say, you know, from the Psalms. And I began to wonder, like, what is he doing here in a Catholic church? I began to finally put together the fact that this is the same God, Sue. He really is here in the Catholic church. But that's how far away I was. Oh, Anne, I was a mess. I was a total mess. But anyway, he'll speak to you through things like that, through the music. You have to have a heart that's open to hear him and to be able to want to see these things. And he speaks to you really at every moment of the day because he dwells within you. by grace. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit right now is dwelling within us. And he wants to talk to us. He wants to be involved in our life. He wants to share every minute of our lives with us. But how open are we to it? And how easy it is for Satan to fill your head with all that nonsense about what God's will is for you. Oh, God's will is to do this. He wants you to be unhappy. He wants you to not get married. He wants you to be a nun and live in a cloister. He wants you to do this, do that. It's not that at all. God's will, when you discern it, now I'll give you the different modes. And these are things from Father Gallagher's book on discerning God's will. Father Thomas Gallagher is just really, he is an amazing priest, and he's written a lot about on this subject. Or Timothy, not Thomas, Timothy Gallagher. And he tells you about the different modes. And I know we have to go to a break soon, but you know, maybe when we come back, I'll get into the different modes of ways that you can discern his voice. But when God really, when it's his will, it's almost like a little fire in your heart. You want it. It's something that you want. He doesn't normally ask you to do things that totally turn you off. And if they do, he'll fix that somehow. And one of the stories of the modes is, I'll tell you that, how he fixed it for somebody who was having this, you know, just was rebutting him, just didn't want it. Didn't want it at all. It was refusing God. But again, that disposition and that learning how to hear him, learning how to watch for his voice, but all of those things don't mean anything if you're not open to him. And that comes from that love relationship that you
and
have to develop.
And what role does repentance have to do in preparing to listen? I mean, cleaning out the dirty pipes out of our hearts. Is it important for us to repent before we begin this process?
You absolutely should repent, because you want to be in a state of grace. So you should repent of all of your sins, mortal and venial. We should be going to... The sacraments is an extremely important way to prepare yourself and to establish that right foundation for discerning God's will, is to, first of all, confession. Get over your hesitancy with confession, because that is a remarkable sacrament. That is the most healing thing you can do. You know, exorcists will tell you that a single confession is more powerful than an exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're besieged by any kind of, you know, problems, oppression, or whatever else in your life, just go to confession. Make a good confession to the priest. That, and then go and receive the Eucharist. I mean, this is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Why would you not want that? Give me a good reason. What is it? Why would you not want to imbibe the body, blood, soul, and divinity of a God? You know, it's like, no, it doesn't make any sense. It's not even logical. Of course you should want to do that. And if you can't receive him, say, you know, you can't go to morning mass or something on your way to work, there's not a mass in time for that, stop in and visit him in the Blessed Sacrament. There's adoration chapels. Stop in. Make it a point to go every week. To sit in front of the Lord. You know, Fulton Sheen says you can sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament and it'll have the same effect on you, regardless of what you're doing in there. You know, you don't have to think that you have to say all these great, wonderful, perfect prayers to win blessing from him. You don't have to do that at all. Just sitting there, Fulton Sheen said, is the same thing as if you were sitting out in the sun. If you're sitting out in the sun and not paying any attention to it, you would still be burned by the sun. If you're sitting there with Jesus and you're distracted and you can't seem to put together two good sentences for the Lord, you're still going to get grace from him just by being there with him. Just
well,
by sitting there with him.
Speaking of being there with him, Sue, we have to cut to a commercial break. Stay with us. Our special guest today is Susan Brinkman. We're discussing discerning God's will. Sue, stay on the line, and after we return, we'll be talking about modes to discern.
This is Father Dermot Roach of the SMA Fathers, the African Missions in Boston. From the first time I spoke to Kathleen, I recognized the special presence of the Holy Spirit in her. Kathleen exudes a confidence, joy, and truly a holy boldness in her unique style of evangelization. I've been blessed being part of her retreats, her preaching, and her teaching, especially sharing the Word of God with her on Thursday afternoons on The Holy Spirit is With You. The The many gifts that Kathleen shares with us in ministry are a testament of her humble surrender to God's will and mission for the church. She's a simple instrument, becoming Christ's eyes of compassion, Christ's feet walking in humility and goodness, and Christ's hands of healing and blessing the wounded, the lonely and lost souls on this earth.
We thank God for our one, holy, Catholic and Apostolic Church, where Jesus remains present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. And in his sign, Catholic Radio, has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy and In His Sign have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic Radio and the Internet. With God's grace, His word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In His Sign proclaims the culture of life loud and clear in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis, at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010. Or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, my friends, welcome back. I'm Ann McGlone, your host, and you're listening to Thy Will Be Done on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. Our special guest today is the infamous, beautiful Susan Brinkman, author, award-winning journalist, Third Order of Discalced Carmelites, Director of Communications and New Age Research for Women of Grace, and we'll be talking about this shortly, co-founder of the Catholic Life Institute, and she's the author of 11 books. Susan, before the break, you were talking about Fulton Sheen and how God's love is radiated to us through adoration, of course. Mm-hmm. It's just like the sun if we just sit there. But yeah. Right before that, you talked about different modes of to discernment. Can you discuss that for a little bit?
Yeah. There are different modes. This is, again, from Father Gallagher's book. The first mode, that's when the Lord moves your will so that you have no doubt that that's what he wants you to do. So he does something very abrupt with you, very clear, very powerful to you. Father gives the example of this high school teen, and she was considering a vocation, but she absolutely did not want to do it. And then one day at the end of a retreat for seniors, she went to the chapel, and she got zapped by the Lord. He just, like, zapped her with this, like, this is what I want. And she was suddenly filled with this realization that this was really God, and this was His will for her. And so she wanted to do it. I mean, once the Lord makes it clear to you, hey, this is what I want for you, this is my will, as soon as He shows it to you, you know that whatever way He's showing you, that's your way to happiness. That's how you're going to be happy. And she figured that out. She got zapped the way I did. So there's a certainty to it. The way that I was very certain that God had heard me, that He was going to help me, which He did. Now, that it doesn't always happen with a zap. Now, there was one diocesan priest who was considering a move to religious order, and he went through months of praying about whether or not to make that move. And one day while he was praying, it just came to him that he should not make a change, to just stay where he was. It was just very calm, very like that was the moment that God chose to reveal to him, nope, don't do it, just stay where you're at. So others describe it, they say there was a sudden light that went off. It illuminated what they were supposed to do. And everyone who's had such an experience was left with this irresistible draw. That's how I know, like different things that I'm writing and that sort of thing, like when He puts it on my heart to write a book, let's say, I get such a fire in my heart to write that book. I don't want to do anything but write that book. It becomes like an obsession with me. I just want to write the book or work on the book or think about the book. I mean, it's, I want to do this. And I consider that to be a grace of some kind, that he motivates me. So it can happen in dramatic and in not so dramatic ways, that first mode. But it will always have certainty as a characteristic of it. You just know that that's what he wants you to do. And then there's the second mode. Now, the second is when you receive sufficient clarity and understanding through the experience of consolation and desolation and the discernment of spirit. So this is where I think keeping a diary will come in handy, because they help you to discern a pattern that you might not see otherwise. You know, which choice most consistently brings you spiritual consolation? So you have to understand what is consolation. Consolation is you have an increase of faith, of hope and love. You have a strong love for God. Consolations will, you'll shed tears of love for God, sorrow for sin. You have interior joy. You're drawn to heavenly things. You feel very quiet and peaceful in the Lord. Those are consolations. Then there's desolations, which are really the exact opposite of that. Desolations are you have a lot of doubt. You're despairing. You're moved toward earthly things. You feel a decrease in your love for God and heavenly things. Your soul's disturbed. You're disquieted, agitated. You know, that's the kind of thing that's a desolation. So when you're thinking about doing a certain thing, does it bring you a consolation, bring you peace, or does it disturb you and bring you anxiety? So that can tell you where this could be coming from. It could be the devil trying to trick you. This is why I always say that prayer, Jesus, I surrender myself to you, take care of everything. Just take care of it. Because I'm not going to figure stuff like this out. And spiritual desolations and consolations, you know, the devil can really play a lot of games with you there. And you just have to, like I said, keep that diary and write down, you know, I'm trying to figure this out. And today I felt such and such when I prayed about this with the Lord. And the next day, you know, write in what you say. A lot of times you see what God wants from you in hindsight, and you see how He's working with you. So that would be the second mode. And the third mode is more practical. It calls for you to look at what choice will best serve God. What will best serve God? And when I use this one, I usually make a list of pros and cons from God's point of view. And I used this method it's a couple years ago now. And I was trying to choose a ministry path for myself. Which one did God want for me? And I was facing a very long trip at the time, and I wasn't at peace because of that. I was harried. I was scattered. I was worried about one of my animals that was ill, and I was going to have to leave it with the caretaker. So it was really hard for me to pray about it when I had so much on my mind. But at the end of the trip, I was facing this long flight home. I was finally at peace. I took out my pen, and I went to work listing my reasons for and against a particular choice. And I'll tell you what, when I put that together, it was suddenly brilliantly clear to me. All of my reasons for staying put had to do with me and my security. All of my reasons for moving on had to do with important work that God needed to be done, for which I just didn't have time if I continued doing what I was doing. So it was obvious what choice he wanted for me. But it took sitting down there, being at peace, sit down and say, okay, pros and cons, but not from your point of view, from God's. What is God going to get out of that decision that you're trying to make? What's he going to get out of it? Or is this all for you? And what I found out, it was the latter. It was all for me. And what he wanted for me was the opposite, to make that change. And so that's what I ended up doing. So those modes, when you apply them, they really do work. They really do help you, or they at least start to point you in the right direction. I just know that it worked for me. When I used that mode, I was, from that moment on, I had that certainty, like that would come from the first mode. I just saw it. It was as clear as day. It was clear as day. Everything on the sheet that was a pro for God was this long list, and the con for God was my one thing, my security. That's all that was on there. So I said, well, you know what? I think I know my answer. By the time I got off the plane, I knew exactly what I was going to be doing.
So there's immediate consolation, Sue, when you step your toe into what God wants of you. Is there immediate joy in your heart when
yes.
you believe you've walked through these steps and you've discerned God's will?
Yeah, yes. There is, and the piece, because I'm looking at some of the things that he's asked me to do that frighten me. Like, he asked me to go to EWTN that time at the very, very beginning of this, when I still had all the motion sickness. I had no idea how I was going to do this. I was terrified of that. Terrified. But I knew I had to go. It was my job, you know? And I just kept saying to him, I hope you're going to get me through this. I actually prayed at one point, hey, if you want to take me out, now'd be a good time to do it. I actually prayed that he would kill me rather than make me go through with this, right? This is a bad, I was terrified. So you're going to have that, but I also, there was something deep inside that wanted to go. Because obviously, and I went. And even as I got on the plane, I remember sitting on the plane, and I hadn't been on a plane for 10 years. And when I used to fly, which is in the late 80s, you had these big planes, you know what I mean? Now, they're these little cheap gas zippers, right? I felt like I was in a metal cigar tube. There was only four seats, two on each side. I thought, I'm going to fly all the way down there in this thing? I mean, I thought, oh, my God. And I remember looking at the door before the stewardess shut the door and thought to myself, get off now. Get out now while you still can. But something made me stay there. Something made me do it. I knew it was him. He wanted me to do it. And from somewhere deep down inside, I was able to cling to that. And I went ahead and I did it. So you're not necessarily going to have peace like the kind of peace you'd feel if you're laying on a beach listening to the waves crash. You know what I mean? It's not going to be like that. Sometimes it's a deep inner thing that's just saying, look, this is what he wants. You got to do it. You got to walk through this and do it. And once you start it, you saw what happened to me. Once those cameras came on, all that anxiety, everything was gone. I mean, it was gone like the click of a finger gone and did not come back. And as I said, I flew home. I had no problems. I kept thinking, oh, I wonder if I'm going to get sick now on the way home because now it's all over. I'm probably going to get sick. I did not get sick at all. Nothing. I was fine. And I realized, I guess, the next time I drove in a car with somebody, I thought, oh, my God, I'm not getting sick. That's how bad I was. I couldn't even ride in somebody's car with them. I always had to drive. And then I realized, oh, my God, you healed me. You healed me of this, and I didn't even deserve it. I complained the whole time. I did. But I did it. So somewhere deep inside, I had that, and he gave me that I would go ahead and do this because all of my fears were irrational about it. I had a lot of irrational fears, but he knows how to cut through it and to motivate you to do it. So there's a motivation factor that comes in there, too. It's not just peace, it's motivation and a love for him.
If you're just tuning in, our special guest today is Sue Brinkman, and we're discussing discerning God's will. And Sue, I have a question for you. There's so much fear right now in the media, in the world. You know, how does that impact our discernment process if all the quiet places that you have been speaking about and discerning God's will? It's hard for people because they're wrapped and paralyzed in fear. So right. Do you have any tips for our listeners today? Are they the same tips that you've been sharing, or is there an extra arm that we need to fight for to break through this fear to discern God's will?
Yeah, fear is always of the devil. That's where it comes from. God doesn't produce that kind of fear in people. That's always from the devil. And when you hear what's going on in the mainstream media, and all it is this constant droning of warnings about this and dire consequences of the pandemic, and now it's the Delta, now it's the Lambda variant coming up again. You know, it goes on and on and on. Turn it off. Turn it off. Don't listen to it. It's nothing but a temptation from Satan. What he wants to do is keep you agitated inside. He doesn't want you to trust God. He doesn't want you to do that. You know, God is allowing this pandemic. For what reason? We don't know. We don't know why he's allowing it. We don't need to know. We just know that he is. And if we accept God's will, he will turn it all for our good. And that's exactly what he does. He turns it for our good. Isn't that what he did to me when I had to go on that trip? He turned everything for my good. And so you have to learn, again, as I said in the very... Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I thought you said something. I was hearing a little echo there. You need that foundation of trust in him, of trust in a God who loves you. You have to have that in order to overcome that fear, to say, you know what, okay, things are really bad, and nasty stuff is happening to a lot of people out there, but you're in control. And I know that if I just surrender to your will in this, you will make something good come of this. Something good will come. And I trust you and I believe in you. But that comes about from an active prayer life, from participation in the sacraments. There's no easy way to do that. There's no pill you can take that's going to make you have that kind of faith. You know, wouldn't it be nice if we could? It'd be wonderful. But we don't. It takes work. It takes work. It takes and especially what it takes is our work is cooperation with grace, the grace that God gives you. It takes grace, and then our work is to cooperate with that grace, because that's where we fall short. We don't cooperate with it. We give in to those fears. We start running around with our hair on fire. No, you need to reject fear. You need to reject anything that causes your soul to be disturbed. Anger is another one. I get angry sometimes when I watch the news, and I hear this stuff, and I know they're lying, and I get so angry, and I start throwing things at the television. I say to myself, okay, that's it. Time to leave the room. Let's get out of here. Turn this off. Let's go sit on the deck for a while, you know. But you have to be proactive that way with it and protect yourself from those kinds of attacks from Satan that come to you through the mainstream media and people who are always the doomsayers. If you think about it, the news is nothing but doom. Look what's going on in Afghanistan right now. It's horrible. And you know, what we need to be doing right now is praying for these dear people that are under siege over there. And it pray for the perpetrators of it, too, that they might get off this wild, radical stance that they're on. But that's the response to things like that, not sitting around trembling in fear or anger that, you know, the administration did what they did with this. I mean, that doesn't help either. What we need to do is pray and trust in God and know that he's in control. Satan can't do anything that God doesn't allow or permit for one reason or another. So... But you've got to have that trust relationship, trust only comes from love. That's where it comes from. It comes from love, and you're not going to trust somebody that you don't know. So you have to get to know him, and you get to know him by prayer, daily contact with him. That's how you get to learn his voice. That's how you begin to learn how to discern what he wants you to do with your life, to discern just the way he wants to talk to you. I mean, he speaks every day to me in my prayer, in one way or another. He speaks. And whatever he has to say, I want to hear. But you have to keep that heart open like that. And sometimes it's hard. You know, it does get difficult. There are days when you're just harried and everything seems to be falling apart, and, you know, you just have to keep saying, I say this so many times in the course of the day, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything.
Yes.
Take care of it. And that's me saying, I can't handle this, because he wants that surrender from you, for you to say, look, I can't deal with this. I feel angry about this, or I feel, my anger is justified. I'm sure you would tell me that, Lord, that my anger is justified, but I don't want to be angry, because then I can't hear you. Because then my soul is all churning, and I can't hear your subtle voice, because God's voice is very soft. I don't know how many times, Annie, I've said to him, would you please speak up? And it's like he says to me, no, would you please quiet down?
Oh.
Yes, you quiet down, Sue. Then you'll hear me, because his voice is so soft. And when I'm in there all churny, even excitement about things, I get carried away. You know how I am. And I get all excited. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do this and that and that. And I can't hear him that way either, because I'm all excited. And he's got to calm me down. Say, no, quiet, quiet, quiet. And then he'll wait for me to get nice and quiet. And then it's like he gives me my reward. Okay, now she's quiet. Give her reward. Sort of like a little dog in training, you know? You wait till he stops yapping to give him his treat. But that's sort of like what the Lord does. And also, of course, when you are quiet like that and your soul is quiet, you can hear that voice. Otherwise, you can't. All you're doing is listening to yourself running around like a wild woman. Or like Teresa of Avila once said, like a mad woman running through the house. That's how she described herself sometimes. So even the great saints had that problem. You know, it happens. We're human.
Yeah. Sue, I wanted to take a couple minutes. You are involved. You're a co-founder of a new apostolic work. Tell our listeners about your new outreach called the Catholic Life Institute.
Yeah, well, actually, Catholic Life Institute isn't that new anymore, Annie. It's almost 8 years old now.
Well, but, I'm new, and it's old.
yeah, that's true. So the Catholic Life Institute is just a couple of us from my Carmelite community. We just decided to try to bring Carmelite spirituality and Carmelite mysticism, which is Catholic mysticism, into the world, and to try to show people what is Catholic mysticism. And it's all about Catholic prayer. It's all about the journey to union with God. It's all about the interior life and how to develop yourself in the interior life. And we base it all, of course, in the teachings of the Carmelite masters and also the spiritual masters, you know, Francis de Sales and Father Thomas Dubé and people like that. We have a lot of courses that we teach. We teach them in person and we teach them live, online, rather. And it's gotten, I guess, we're going pretty far with this now, and I'm really happy about it. We teach about the seven mansions of the soul, the four stages of prayer. We teach about this fall, I'm going to be doing one on Teresa Lisieux's spiritual childhood. So we do that. I also do retreats. I'm going to be doing a retreat called Fight Like a Catholic, and this is on spiritual warfare in the Catholic tradition. And that is going to be out at St. Mary of Providence Center in Elverson the weekend of Halloween, the 29th to the 31st of October. And that one's got to be 15 or older for this one, because you're going to learn the facts about the evil one, who he is, what kind of powers he has, and how he uses them against us. So some of this stuff is a little bit it's chilling. It's chilling, very eye-opening. But we need to learn this if we are going to learn how to protect ourselves. So we do that with the Catholic Life Institute as well, and we love it. I mean, it's just, it's a lot of fun. We have met so many wonderful people, and they're like our friends, and they live all, you know, all across the United States. We have people from Ireland that take the course. I mean, it's, you get to be friends, and they go through our different courses, and we do book studies. Right now we're reading St. Gertrude, the Life and Revelations of St. Gertrude, so we're doing that one. That's online book study. And we just get together once every 2 weeks for an hour and discuss what we're doing. Also, we're on Facebook. We can go under Facebook under my name, Susan Brinkman, and we have the Catholic Life Institute has like a little prayer group. You can join our group of the Catholic Life Institute. So if you'd like to, you can see what we're doing by that. We also have little programs and talks and stuff that we give right on Facebook. So We're just trying to get the message out there, Ann, because you know, so many people are going to the East. You know, they're going to mindfulness, they're going to transcendental meditation, all the different spawns of that, centering prayer, different things. You know, all this mind-blanking stuff. It's like, what are you doing? I mean, the Catholic Church wrote the book on meditation and contemplation. You don't need to do that stuff. And who wants to blank your mind when you could be, you know, sitting there communing with the creator of the universe? Mm-hmm. What is that all about? I mean, it just doesn't even make sense to me that people do that. And so, you know why they do it? Because they don't know. They don't know what we have. And that's the main motivation of the Catholic Life Institute. Show them what we have. And I'll tell you, Anne, they're shocked. When I teach people the four stages of prayer, they look at you like you have two heads. What are you talking about? You say, well, what do you think Catholic prayer is? You know what they say? Vocal prayer, Hail Mary, Our Father. Those are beautiful prayers. Vocal prayer is very essential, but that's not all there is. There's a whole lot more. And they learn it. And we actually teach them how to practice it, the little practice sessions and stuff like that. It's sad. It's sad that you can go to a parish and you can learn centering prayer and mindfulness meditation, and you can't learn this,
right.
Our own tradition. I just, no. So as long as I'm alive, Anne, that's not going to stand. I'll do it myself if I have to. As Mother Teresa said that, you know, don't wait for someone else to do it. Do it yourself.
Do it yourself.
So that's what I'm doing with the Catholic Life Institute. And as I said, it's all Carmelites that are involved in it. So it's not a money-making thing. It's a nonprofit. We all have other jobs, you know, so we don't make money off of this. We just do it because we want to get this out into the world and perhaps wean some people away from the Eastern forms of prayer that have all kinds of dangers because, you know, mind-blanking leads you to an altered state, and in an altered state, it's just like hypnosis, which is an altered state. You're open to suggestion. And guess who's waiting to make some suggestions?
Mm-hmm.
So, no, we don't want to do that. Not a good idea. Not smart. It's not even smart. But, again, people aren't educated. They go on what they read on the website, and they think, oh, yeah, this sounds great. I think I'll try it. You know, I'm going to do it. And they end up getting themselves in trouble. So the Catholic Church has a beautiful tradition for prayer, for contemplation, and for meditation. And learn it. If you don't know that there's four stages of prayer that you can go through in the course of your life as a Catholic, if you don't know that, you do not know enough about Catholic prayer to be dabbling around the East. So let that be a little guide for you. If you didn't know that before, there's a lot you don't know about Catholic prayer. And before you go looking elsewhere, why don't you just check out what we have? So CatholicLifeInstitute.org, you can come on there, and it'll show you just about everything that we do, what we teach, our calendar of events, our bookstore, a little bookstore with a lot of great books in it. So, and my naughty girl story's in there too, Annie. You've read my naughty girl story.
Yeah.
That one's in there. We need to talk. God speaks to a modern girl.
And
that talks all about, you know, my early conversion experience with the Lord, which was so powerful.
We'll be doing another program. And Sue, I thank you for taking time. I know you're so busy, and we get so excited when we're together.
Yes.
I will be calling you, and we will be doing another program. And I pray that all of our listeners today learn so much and are inspired from you. So, Susan, have a beautiful summer, and we will be back in touch.
Oh, I hope so, Annie. Thank you so much.
All right. I love you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, thank you, Susan Brinkman, for being with us today. There's never enough time with Susan Brinkman. Again, the topic of our discussion today was discerning God's will, and Susan is just, we could do several hours of programming with her, and we will have her back because she is just an encyclopedia of information that we need to do. And I just really pray that you learned a lot today from this program. Until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.
Lord.